Hi, and welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church Online. Thanks for joining us out there as we worship our God yet again for His grace. Now, we praise Him a lot of times for, and rightly so, for everything He's done for us in grace. You think about all of the promises that He's fulfilled in Christ. You think about bringing us to faith and all of that. But we sometimes forget, and it's good to celebrate today, the fact that God doesn't stop there. God makes sure and promises to preserve His church and to preserve even each individual through His Word, because we are built on the foundation of Christ. So God be praised that we get to celebrate that promise, that gospel promise today. Now, you can follow along in the worship service online. You can find the worship folder on our Staying Connected to God's Word page or under the Media Live page. It's linked there as well. And you'll see that we begin our service today by praising the one who deserves all credit for all of this. To God be the glory. God bless your worship today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray for God's continued mercy in our lives. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
In response to this forgiveness, what can we do but rejoice? And we do so with verses 1, 4, and 7 of hymn 377. The Lord be with you.
We pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We now go to God's Word as we focus today on the fact that God preserves His church. And we see that happen in Joshua chapter 4 and what happened after that as a testimony. God's people were about to enter the land of Canaan and conquer it. And in order to do that, they had to cross this river they couldn't cross. So God yet again parts the waters and lets them go through. But as they're doing it now, God upholds an evidence of what he did for them as a testimony for the generations to come. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. The word of the Lord. Back in ancient times, God's people would sing psalms of praise to Him. We do one of those today from Psalm 34 that celebrates the fact that we are God's elect, His chosen people. And what blessings we get to celebrate then. For the next lesson, we go to Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Here we see a testament in picture form of the fact that God will preserve His church. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, John says, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God." Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. The word of the Lord. The gospel for today comes from Matthew chapter 16, and it's everything our service is built upon, which is very fitting language when you consider what Christ says. Peter gives a confession, and Jesus says, that very gospel-filled confession is what I'm going to build my church on, and it won't fall. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith on who Christ is to us. Lord Jesus Christ, the church's head, in the hymn of the day, number 536. God's mercy and God's grace are yours and always will be, brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the second lesson of Revelation chapter 7, if you'd like to follow along there. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. Here I am. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. You're welcome for not singing it. It's from Stevie Wonder's 1970 hit single, Signed, Sealed, Delivered. If you didn't know that song, the context of the song is basically that the person has messed up, but now they're sorry, they're back, and they're at the mercy of their loved one. Their future is in their hands. Now, how nice would it be for you and me if someday on the last day we get to say to God, "Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours forever." But will we be? That's the question that can really weigh on our minds and hearts. Today we are celebrating the fact that God preserves His church. It's one thing if God can hold back the waters of the Jordan River, like in the first lesson, for His people. It's one thing if God can not only help His people withstand the gates of Hades, the forces of hell and evil and Satan, and even overcome them and advance on them, but it's a whole other thing if we're going to uphold and withstand even the wrath of God upon sin. When you look at yourself, have to think to yourself, how is it even possible that I could endure that? Could I possibly be His? Well, God gives us the answer today in Revelation 7. We'll see that it's signed, sealed, and delivered. Now, if you didn't know, the book of Revelation is basically a vision by the Apostle John. It's given to him toward the end of his life. It's a very popular book because it kind of reads like a fantasy novel. You've got all of this intense imagery and deep symbolism, but what people don't often realize is that all of that symbolism and intense imagery is actually borrowed. It's borrowed from Old Testament books like Exodus, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, among others. All of this imagery and symbolism is meant to simply enhance and intensify what God has already said is going to happen in the rest of His scriptures. And we see that in a big way in Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation 6, we hear about how God is finally going to pour out His wrath upon the sinful world. He levels judgment after judgment after judgment with famines and wars and pestilence and plagues and retribution, all on the people of this sinful world. It's exactly what you would expect a holy, just God to do. He unleashes the winds of His judgment against sin and everything corrupted with sin. It actually gets so bad that by the end of chapter 6, we hear that the people called to the mountains and the rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You don't hear that one much, do you? Wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it? It's that question that can eat away at us and our hearts. Who can withstand it? Are we going to withstand the winds of God's judgment on Judgment Day? Now we think to ourselves, well, yes, I have Christ. We stand right there next to Peter, and we confess right along with him like he did in the gospel lesson, "Jesus, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we are safe in Him, and we know that fact. Yet still, you and I can have some doubt rise up in our hearts. We can think to ourselves if we really are, because if we match up what God says His people do and what we do, well, they don't match very well. If you think of the Ten Commandments and you match them with what's going on in your life and in your heart and in your mind, there's not much match. You can wonder to yourself, you know, am I really one of God's people? It seems so often that I'm belonging to sin. It's like I've signed, sealed, delivered myself over to sin time and again. And because of that, you and I can start to question, well, maybe I'm just telling myself I'm one of God's people to make myself feel better. Maybe God doesn't really know me. Or maybe, worse yet, he does, and he knows exactly how I take advantage of his mercy and his grace. And so right along with the people at the end of chapter 6, you and I can recognize the great day of God's wrath coming, and we can think, who can withstand it? I know I can't. But God gives us the answer to that question in chapter 7. What we see is that the answer is signed, sealed, delivered for us. We hear John say, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. So what we see is here at the beginning of chapter 7 that these winds of judgment are actually being held back. I thought they were already being leveled upon the world. Well, what we have here then is actually chapter 6 and chapter 7 occur simultaneously. These events are happening at the same time. See, four is the number of the earth. And so you hear four corners of the earth, four winds, and the idea is that this is about to hit the whole earth. And what it is the winds that's going to destroy and harm things. Now, why would winds be a good picture of God's judgment? Well, because of their destructive nature. You don't have to tell people in southeastern United States or even in the Midwest these days how destructive winds can be. They're facing all these hurricanes and tornadoes, so they know what the winds can do to the land, to the trees, to even the waters with the waves and everything. But these winds are being held back at this moment. It's almost as if when you're watching a movie, and it seems as though somebody dies, right, as you're watching it. But then all of a sudden they appear, and you're shocked, and you're surprised. And then you get a flashback of what actually happened and how they were saved and how they made it through. Well, that's exactly what we see here, because as these winds are being held back, now we find out that God did something very important. John says, I saw another angel coming up from the east, that's the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Now, when I was little, I actually heard this and thought to myself, a seal, kind of like what, like a peanut can? Or like a jar of pickles when the seal is open? It's not that kind of seal. Different kind of seal that we don't use too much today. The kind of seal that we're talking about was used in the book of Ezekiel. That's where this is borrowed from. And it kind of looked like this. Now back then it would have been much smaller, about this size, and it would have been made of stone and it would have been carved with some sort of image. And the idea is that you would have a small piece of soft clay that you would roll the seal on, and the image would be impressed upon that piece of clay. And then it would harden, and there you would have this solid image. Now what that was back then was personal identification. Think of like kind of like a signet ring later on with a piece of wax, and you could even have that on the ends of some of these sometimes where you would impress them that way too. And this was your way of showing like this was mine, or this is of me in some way. Think of it almost like your signature, or even your social security number, which means you wanted to keep this thing nice and safe, because if somebody else got a hold of it, well, that would be like identity theft. It was so serious, because this was yours, your identifying mark. Now, it also had interesting imagery on it as well. So, for example, if you were a basket weaver back in that day, you'd have the main image would be the image of a spider, the weaving idea. And then each image or symbol that was around it that was smaller would be specific to you for all of your transactions. Now, in Ezekiel's time, God's people were marked with a seal on their foreheads to protect them from destruction. But it wasn't a picture of a spider or anything. Instead, it was this. It's called the Hebrew letter Tav. You can kind of see it looks like a slanty X, so to speak, back then. But if you also look, it kind of looks like a cross. Now, I'm not saying that that's exactly what God had in mind, but it's neat imagery for us when we consider what's going on in Revelation chapter 7. Before the winds of judgment on Judgment Day are let loose on the earth, God makes sure to put his seal on the foreheads of his believers. And that seal, that image for us, is indeed the cross of Christ. You and I didn't deserve that kind of a seal, and that's exactly why Christ came. Christ is the one who came, the Son of the living God, the one who is appointed, anointed as our sacrifice of atonement. All of the sins that we have commit that deserve God's wrath were put upon him, and the winds of God's judgment blew on Jesus on the cross. That's where you and I are forgiven. And now God has taken the message of that and through the Holy Spirit has put his mark on you through faith. That's how you receive those blessings. And God has done that through his word and has promised that you are his forever. All thanks to Christ. You and I know this, but still sometimes we can have doubts that rise up, and that's because we have guilt that rises up. Along with that guilt comes questions. Like, am I actually going to make it? Am I going to endure? Along with that rises up the thought of, you know, what is this? What if this is just kind of an empty promise for me? Well, God gives us a couple of assurances here in Revelation and what we hear next. The first assurance you've already actually heard. Did you catch whose seal this is? It says, I saw another angel coming up from the east having the seal of the living God. This isn't some empty, dead promise. This isn't some false god, false idol with an empty, dead message. No, this is the message of the living God, the one who has done all of this for us, the one who truly exists, and the one who has put you as one of his. Now, if the living God is living inside of you, well, you're not going to die anytime soon. Because he ain't going to die anytime soon. And through his word, the living God will continue to keep his hold in your heart. He will continue to help you endure. The second assurance we get is in the number that was sealed. Did you catch that earlier? John says, then I heard the number of those who are sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Now don't think to yourself, oh, does that mean only 144,000 people are going to be saved? No, that's not what this means at all. Especially because in verse 9 we're going to hear that this is a great multitude that no one can count. Also don't think to yourselves when you hear the tribes of Israel and you even see them listed that this is actually talking about the Old Testament believers. There are far more than 144,000. And don't think that this is the descendants of those people either, because these tribes that are listed are actually not found anywhere else. This list as it appears here does not appear like this in any other place. We've got a couple of tribes actually missing from the main list. We've got Levi included. He's normally of the priestly one, so he's actually set apart from the list all the time. We have a couple of overlap with some of them. No. All of this is pointing to the fact that this is speaking not of the descendants of Israel, not of Old Testament Israel, but of spiritual Israel. You want to learn more about that? Go to Romans chapter 9 through 11. Paul explains it pretty well there. And this is intensified, this idea, by the number that we hear next. I told you that Revelation was a book of deep, intense imagery and symbolism. Well, that is right there with the number 144,000. That is 12 times 12 times 1,000. I know you were probably told there would be no math, but here we are. 12 is the number of God's people in the Old Testament throughout. So you think 12 tribes of Israel, Jesus chose 12 disciples. Now, if you go 12 times 12, you're squaring 12. That means you're intensifying it. So this is God's people. 1,000 is 10 times 10 times 10. 10 is the number of roundness or completeness in Scripture. Think 10 commandments, 10 plagues upon Egypt. So if you do 10 cubed, you are intensifying it. This is complete completeness. Now, if you take the intensified number of God's people times the intensified number of completeness, here you have all of God's elect. Complete, complete God's people. Notice it's not 143,999. Notice it's not 12,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from this one, and this one, and this one. Ooh, but 11,999 from this one. Oh, so close. No, this is the full number, all of them completely delivered. God seals every single one of them. Translation, God will not fail to preserve his elect. God will seal and protect every single one of them from even his judgment on the last day, thanks to Christ. So is God going to forget you? Is God going to fail to preserve you? No. You are one of his elect. God has put his Holy Spirit in your heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You are a people belonging to God that you get to declare his praises for what he's done through Christ. No one can snatch you from his hand. How many times does God have to say it to you until you believe it? He even gives it to you in number form. You are protected. You are with the living God. You are his. So signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Will we get to say it to God someday? Yes. But it's not us who does any of that. Keep that in mind. It was God who did the saving. It was God who brought us to faith in Christ. And it's God who's going to do the sealing. Leave it to him. God be praised that you and I know that it's all because of him and Christ. And indeed, forever and ever, we will be signed, sealed, delivered. We're his. Amen. Now may the peace of God, that the comfort of his gospel message gives you, guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We now join together to confess our faith in what the living God has done for us, according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you for your continued support with your thank offerings. You can continue to send them in to the church office via the mail. You can also sign up for auto giving or even just give electronically there on a giving tab on our website. Thank you for your continued support. We now continue with prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer on the top of page 10. We pray. Gracious Lord and Savior, we thank and praise you for working out our salvation and promising to preserve us. Please give us an abundance of your Spirit that we may walk in the paths of your will all our days. Continue to point us to your word for growth, encouragement, and hope. Also give us the courage to speak your gospel message so the full number of your elect may be gathered to their heavenly home. We also ask you to give a rich measure of faith and hope to all those suffering from health challenges. Strengthen them in body and comfort them with your love shown in Jesus. Bless their recoveries and build their trust in your care. Continue to bless those who are celebrating birthdays as well. Give them the chance to see your grace on this special day and to show them that same grace to everyone celebrating with them. Lord, thank you for the joys that you have given us and loved ones who have passed. Bless the trials put upon the families of those remembering and mourning those loved ones. Let these troubles be reminders for them of what's most important, and use them to guide their families closer to you. We ask all of these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our worship continues on page 11 with our next hymn, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
We continue with prayer at the top of page 13. We pray. We give you thanks, O living God, for the knowledge and understanding you give through your word. Through your gospel, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Hi again, thanks for joining us online for worship today. You can find lots more resources on our website if you're interested. That Staying Connected to God's Word page includes links to Bible studies, includes links to devotions and other things. Our Facebook page also includes a lot of things that are delivered each week as you can grow in God's Word even in, as you're maybe stuck in the house right now. But fear not, God is preserving you through His Word and giving you plenty of opportunities right now. So a big welcome to all of our visitors. If you get a chance, also our online connection card is out there too. Help us connect with you even in the midst of what we're going on right now. That'd be great. If you have any questions, you can submit them there too. Prayer requests as well. A few announcements for you. So Sunday school and Bible class will continue online. Bible class will also be outside today, but you can find those materials and all of that on our website as well. Continued prayers, please, as we go for the school. Our waiver from the city or the county of Sacramento was denied at this time. So we're going to continue to work on that, but continue to pray that we can meet with in-person classes here soon. A big call for confirmation students that are not in St. Mark's Lutheran School. If you are not in St. Mark's Lutheran School and you are in 7th or 8th grade, haven't gone through confirmation instruction yet, please contact me, Pastor Groth. You can find my email on the website, bgroth@stmarkslutheran.com. Send me an email, let me know, and parents, let me know that if you have a child in 7th and 8th grade, and we can get going on that. We'll be starting that here at the end of September or early October. We have an Ignite Teen Group hike coming up. So the Ignite Teen Group on September 12th, the Saturday, morning at 9 a.m., weather permitting, of course, but 9 a.m., it should be decent. We're going to go to Lake Clementine Trail, and we're going to meet there at 9 a.m. We can also meet at church if you would like, just let me know that. But just a heads up, a teen group hike, 9 a.m., Lake Clementine Trail. We have an important congregational meeting coming up Sunday, September 20th, so in 2 weeks. Please mark your calendars for that. We have a lot of big things to talk about here for our ministry at St. Mark's. So thank you for putting that on your calendars and planning to come. Today is also Mission Box, LWMS Mission Box Sunday. So if you get a chance, if you could submit an offering for that online, you can do that. We also have a Mission Box here on campus that you can stop by and put something in sometime. Thanks. For all the other announcements and everything, you can find those on our website or on the weekly news, which you can receive through email as well. Otherwise, God's blessings to you this week. As you remember, not only has God done so much for you, but he promises to keep you strong in that, built on Christ. Have a good week.
Thank you.